Colossians 2:7, let your roots grow down into him, that's Jesus, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Okay, so I'm going to go come right out of the gates with an illustration this morning. So I need some volunteers for this illustration. So Josiah, would you like to volunteer? Come on up here. Yep, he just sat down too. He just came. Let me get another volunteer. Yeah, come on. Erica, come. Give me another lady. Here's another lady that would come. All right, come on, Christy. Anybody else? Any other ladies? I need one more lady. Yeah, come on, Emily. I need another man. I need a big hitter. I need some. Come. All right, Shamar, come on. Yep, I saw that hand go up. Listen, so all of you up here that didn't see that, everybody behind them saw that, but Shamar didn't raise his hand. Aaron raised Shamar's hand for him. You got voluntold. All right. Eric, come on up here. I need another big, big, strong, burly man up here. And let me see here. Bro, why don't you come on up? Yeah, come on. All right. All right, so last week I said something to you, and you're going to remember it, but I'm going to show it to you in illustrated form because I think it's more powerful, and I think this message is going to mean a lot more to you when you can see this with your own eyes. So last week I talked about a river flowing and how when you're trying to live a life of thankfulness, sometimes it can feel like going swimming upstream. Remember when I said that? Jump into St. Clair River and try to swim upstream and see what that's like. Sometimes it feels like that when we're trying to apply the principles of the Word of God, and we understand that they work. We understand that they're proven, right? And it's truth, and it works, but it's hard to apply it sometimes when you feel like you're going against that extreme flow. So I want to show that to you. If all of you would just step back this way just for a moment, all right? I'm just going to take you right now, and you're going to come over here, and I want you to go on that side of the platform, turn around, face me, and you're going to walk this way. And I am drawing a blank on name right now. Zach, thank you, Zach. I knew it too. I was going to say that. But so Zach is going to represent an ungrateful heart, okay, unthankfulness. And I'm going to represent a thankful heart, okay? So when you're going and you're trying to apply this principle to your life, you're trying to live with thankfulness, a thankful heart, that means you're thanking the Lord every day for the things that you have. Remember last week I said when you are focused on thankfulness, and you're just grateful for all the things you do have, you're not thinking about the things you don't have, right? You're not focused on that. That's just not, because you're thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I do have a car. Thank you, Lord, that I do have a home. Thank you that I do have food to eat. You know, thank you, Father, for all of these things. You're not focused on that. But let's just say you're walking along and trying to be thankful, and here comes unthankfulness in the form of a person. And I'm going to this represents the church, okay? Not the world. Let's talk about the church. And you got unthankfulness coming. Okay, we're meeting here, okay? And in this illustration form, basically, I could probably, you know, and we know the Word of God is more powerful, right, than the enemy. We know that God is more powerful than the enemy. So in this situation, I can probably overcome this pretty easily and even sway and turn a person, okay, that may have that type of heart to walk with me, okay, because of the power of Holy Spirit living in me. Got it? All right, so we understand that. So we come against this a lot, right, and we're able to say, but man, bro, think about the things you do have to be thankful for. Think about, you know, and we just start to fulfill them full of the Word of God, and boom, they turn. But now I want all the rest of you to join him, okay? Now let's just say it looks like this. You're walking along, and you're trying to live a thankful life, but then you guys come this way, all right? And I'm going to try to pull you, but you try to pull me, all right? All right? And so things start to, listen, I could hold all of them back. Do you see how strong? You guys are weak. I thought I got some big hitters up here. Weaklings. Anyway. No, they were trying to be nice. They would have mowed me right down. But imagine, okay, in the spirit realm, that's what it looks like when you're trying to be thankful, okay, and you've got all of this unthankfulness, ungratefulness coming against you. When that's the flow, when that's the culture in a church, okay, then it's very difficult to stay in that position of thankfulness, okay? You start to get around people, and let's just do it in this form, and you start to get around them, and you know, every single one of these people are you know, coming from a position of unthankfulness, bitterness, hurt, those different types of things. And then you kind of, it's easy to get sucked into that and pulled by that flow, right? You feel almost intimidated to try to encourage them because there's so much discouragement. There's so much of the negativity coming at you. Anybody ever feel this way before? Okay. And so let's flip it around now. You guys come out over here. Let's let you be on the good side. All right. Okay. And turn around. And I'm going to represent unthankfulness. All right. So imagine, if you will, picture that this is our church. Okay. And our church is full of thankful people who daily give the Lord praise and thanks for what he's done in their lives, who are walking in thankfulness, right? Not focused on the things that they don't have, not focused on, well, I wish this had gone this way and I wish that had, you know, this and that and all that, but they're thankful for what they do have. They're thankful for what the Lord has done in their lives. They wake up every morning and they praise the Lord. Lord, thank you that you've blessed me. Thank you, Father, that you saved me. If you don't do another thing, you've done all you need to do for me. You saved my soul. Amen? But then they go on thanking him over and over again, and they do this throughout the week, and they come to church, and they're walking together. Come on, walk together. And they're walking together, and someone, stop right there, and someone comes into this culture, into this flow, jumps into this river, okay, this river, and they have unthankfulness in their heart. They're bitter. They have an ungrateful heart, and they jump into it. What happens? They get swept up. Amen? They will look and go, I mean, here's the thing. It's either going to do one of two things. They're either going to get swept up in that, and their heart's going to change because of the power of God that's moving in the culture of that church, or they're going to leave. You go, we don't want them to leave. No, I know that, and I understand that. I don't want people to come and leave either, but I would rather people stay and change, right? But if they're not going to, and they're going to cause disruption and poison, I'd rather them go. Amen? I mean, I know that's hard, but, you know, if we don't understand this and we don't apply this, then there's hundreds of thousands of churches out there in this world that struggle and flounder and there's no power. Jesus talked to these churches in Revelation to the seven churches. He said, "You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." Well, what makes us alive? We just sang about it, the power of love. Amen? God's love is that firm foundation, and part of that love is a heart that flows in thankfulness. So this culture is coming, and anybody that tries to step in, you know, it's like jumping into that river with that current. You try to jump in, well, you're going to get swept up in that current. And that's what I want us to see in our church. Amen? I want to see hearts that are thankful, constantly thanking the Lord for what they have. Guys, it would solve so many problems in the church today, wouldn't it? Yeah. Amen? Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Our difficulties, and there are difficulties in the church. In our church, yes, even in our church. There's communication things, there's, you know the old saying, there's no perfect church, right? And if there were, then you came, so it would be imperfect, right? It's a terrible joke. But I'm just saying, that, yes, that's true. We're always going to have hurdles and difficulties to overcome. However, if we just throw our hands up and say, well, it's always going to be like that, and not strive to do better, not strive to live out the word of God, then it's going to crumble fast, right? And I'm not saying our church is doing it at all. Our church is thriving, and God is doing amazing things here. But I want us to see it go even further than we've gone. Amen? I want to see a strong, powerful, and especially in the days we live in, guys, we're in the last of the last days. And in the days we live in, God is raising up a powerful church. There's several churches that are being raised up, several, you know, local bodies of believers that are being raised up, and they're getting it. They're like, man, let's quit talking about it and let's do it. Let's live it. Let's hold one another accountable to live this. Amen? Is it wrong for us to hold one another accountable? No. Is it wrong for me? You know, I know it's harder for me because I'm your pastor, and if I come to you and say, hey, I got something to talk to you about, then you're like, feel like you're called to the principal's office or whatever. But let's just say a brother or sister in Christ comes to you that you love and you trust and you're in good relationship with. If they come to you and say, hey, Devin, listen, I noticed that you're complaining a lot, and that's just not godly. That's not what the Lord would have for you to do. Like, he, you know, he's blessed you and he wants you to, you know what I mean? If someone were to come to you like that, you should be able to receive that in love and not get all bent out of shape and go, because here's what the enemy will do. The enemy will come. I'm just going to stick with you, Devin. I know you can handle it. The enemy will come and go, well, who do they think they are? You know, have you seen their backyard? Right? And if we're waiting for the perfect person to come to us and hold us accountable, is it ever going to happen? The only one that can do that is Jesus. It's the Lord himself, right? And he does do that. He sends his Spirit to bring correction. But sometimes the Lord works through people, brothers and sisters in the family, to hold one another accountable, to encourage each other in the Lord, to say to each other, hey, come on, man. Come on, bro, I love you, man. That's not what God, who God called you to be. That's not what he wants for your life. Because I can guarantee you this, if you see that type of thing happening in their lives here, I guarantee you it's happening behind the scenes. Amen? If you can recognize it here, because, you know, come on, y'all, we all put on our Sunday best, and I'm not talking about clothes. We come, you know what I mean, and we, you know, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm the head and not the tail. You know what I mean? God gave me the keys to the kingdom. Right? And so we all kind of tend to put a little bit of that. Hopefully we're working out of that. Hopefully we can just be transparent and real with one another. You know? We should be. But, you know, if it's happening, if you see it, then it's probably happening in their family. I've often said this, if you meet somebody that's having a, like if you're dealing with somebody or talking to somebody that has an anger issue with you, I guarantee you that anger issue is not just with you. Okay? I guarantee you it's happening to others as well. So if they are a brother or sister in Christ, isn't it our duty to say something, to help them, to try to lovingly encourage them in the Lord, to deal with something that's there? The answer to that is yes. Amen? So when I am presenting something like this, you know, I'm doing it so that we will see these seven things, realize, hey, this is good for us, not just because of scientific studies, but the Word of God says it first and foremost, and we know it's going to change not only our lives, but the church. Amen? All right, so number one, two, three, and four were these. Thankfulness improves relationships, number one. Number two, thankfulness improves physical health. Number three, thankfulness improves psychological health. And number four, thankfulness enhances empathy and reduces aggression. All right, here's number five. Thankfulness helps you sleep better. Ooh. Listen, lack of sleep is killing us. Literally killing us. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot of reasons for it. But did you know that one in three people do not get enough sleep? One in three. A third of the world does not get enough sleep. So let's just, you know, and judging by hands last week, that holds true, but let's just do it again for those of you who may not have been here. How many would say you lose some sleep, you don't get enough sleep? Okay, look around the room. Keep your hands up and look around the room. That's insane. So 1/3 of the world and 1/2 of the River Church. So we're bumping that curve up a little bit. Right? It's true. And there's numerous studies that have shown the reasons for this, but I saw one study and I thought this is pretty good. So I'm going to show you this. This study said there are several things that contribute to a lack of sleep, and several things that a lack of sleep contribute to. So first of all, number one, a lack of sleep causes accidents. All right? A lack of sleep causes accidents. Sleep deprivation was a factor in some of the biggest disasters in history. The 1979 nuclear accident at Three Mile Island. How many remember that happening? Okay? Sleep deprivation. All right? That was a massive one. How about the Exxon Valdez oil spill? Anybody remember that? Sleep deprivation. The 1986 nuclear meltdown at Chernobyl. Another big one. All of those were caused by sleep deprivation. They did all the investigations, and that's what they boiled it down to for every one of those mistakes. Think about that. The second thing is this: sleep loss dumbs you down. Oof. I don't need any more of that. Man. But at least now I have a reason. Right? You're dumb. Yeah, I don't get enough sleep. I was genius when I got enough sleep. But then, stuff happened. Sleep plays a critical role in thinking and learning. As we all know, you know when you're extremely tired, man, you're just like, I can't even hold a conversation with anybody right now, right? Because I'm just too tired. Number three is sleep deprivation leads to serious health problems. Now, we know this, but let me just show you what they've linked it to. Sleep disorders and chronic sleep loss have been linked, strongly linked, to heart disease, heart attack, heart failure, irregular heartbeat, high blood pressure, stroke, diabetes. All of those are heavily linked to sleep loss. In fact, is anybody in this room on a sleep apnea machine or using a sleep apnea machine? Okay. Yeah. Okay. A few of us. I am. They found out that if you have sleep apnea, there's several different kinds, and I'm not going to get all the different kinds, but I know all of this stuff because I'm pretty much a doctor now with all the studies I've done. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You're like, why is this happening? Google. I have my Google PhD. Pretty much there's a couple different kinds. There is what's called central sleep apnea, okay, which is really in the brain, okay, and now I'm drawing a blank because I haven't gotten enough sleep. I'm drawing a blank on the other one. Teresa, Sabrina, what's the other one? Obstructive, thank you. Obstructive sleep apnea. I knew that, but, you know, I'm not sleeping well these days. I need my machine adjusted. So there's those two different kinds. And if you have that and you're not on a machine that will help you, what obstructive sleep apnea does, everybody knows obstructive sleep apnea. That's the snorers, okay, pretty much. Like if you snore, anybody snore? Okay, hold on. Let me ask the wives. Wives, does your husband snore? Raise your hands. Look at all those hands. Look at that. Husbands, does your wife snore? Okay, all right. I love it. You are brave for raising your hand. You're afraid. She sleeps like an angel. Like an angel. She's like a princess when she sleeps. Sometimes I just check to see if she's breathing. So, all right, I'm going to stop. Kim's looking at me like, that's enough. You're trying to be funny. Stop it. They're laughing. All right. Obstructive sleep apnea. Like, if that's happening, you're not getting into the sleep that you need. Everybody knows REM sleep is where you need to get, right? That's the sleep when you dream and all of that. And if you're not doing that, and I've had people tell me, and I'm just as a pastor, you know, counseling and stuff, talking about things. I have people tell me I haven't slept in years. No, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. I haven't dreamt in years. I haven't had a dream in years. And I said, probably because you're not getting to the sleep you need. Okay? Did you know that God's constantly speaking to us? Did you know that? He speaks to us all the time. But in particular, he loves to speak to us in the night. Okay? And if you're not getting into the sleep you need, your mind doesn't get to that place. Okay, it's racing. It's kind of like you trying to pray with your cell phone on, and people are constantly texting you and calling you on your cell phone. Anybody ever try to pray with their cell phone on and people kept interrupting them? Yes. And you're like, and you realize, look, either I shut this thing off, throw it out the window, do something, or I'm not going to be able to concentrate on what I'm, you know, talking to the Lord about. Well, the same thing is if your mind is just at night and the Lord's trying to speak to you, we're not able to hear, okay? So we need to understand that's a powerful thing, and I'll get to that in just a moment. Lack of sleep can lead to, number four, on these several things that it does. Lack of sleep leads to depression. Over time, lack of sleep and sleep disorders can contribute to these symptoms of depression that we might be feeling, okay? Lack of sleep ages your skin. Lack of sleep makes you forgetful. Lack of sleep makes you gain weight. So that's why I'm dumb, and that's why I look like this. Got a lot of reasons. It has nothing to do with the box of Twinkies I ate last night. It's that lack of sleep. And lack of sleep shortens your life expectancy. Well, with all of those things, of course it's going to shorten your life expectancy, right? So lack of sleep is destroying our lives. It's really taking a toll on us. And I would ask you, what's causing this sleeplessness? What's causing this in the world we live in today? The number one cause of sleeplessness is anxiety. It's the number one cause. The reason that half the hands in the room went up and said, I'm not getting enough sleep, probably is linked to anxiety, among other things, but that's probably the number one thing. You're not sleeping well. We're not sleeping well because anxiety is taking a toll on us. Worry, fear, all of those things. And this is why Jesus said, don't worry about your everyday life, about what you eat or what you drink or about the clothes that you wear or anything else. Don't worry about those things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all of those things will be added to you. Jesus knew. He knew that worry and anxiety and fear would take years off of our lives because we would not get enough sleep, because we would lay down and just our minds would be racing. We wouldn't be hearing from the Lord. You know, when you're in the middle of the night and the Lord's speaking to you, he's reassuring you of promises he made to you. Those dreams that he gives you, and he does give you dreams, or he wants to, those dreams are his assurances of some things, or maybe some promises that you need to hear. And Jesus knew this was going to happen, so he said, look, I'm telling you right now, don't worry about all that. Don't worry about your finances. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about that car that's acting up. Don't worry about any of those things. Don't worry about your children. You know, I deal with this a lot with parents. Like, they got children away from the Lord, and that anxiety is eating them up. Don't worry about them. Put them in the Lord's hands and trust him. He will do what he promised he would do. He will keep his word. Amen? And so you can't be... All this worry is causing us to lose sleep. Jesus actually said this in Matthew 6:27. He said, can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? Answer's no. No. You can worry all you want. It doesn't change a thing. Worry never changes things. But trusting the Lord does. Amen? So, worry won't change anything except for this. Worry will take years off your life. Anxiety will take years off your life. And one of the ways it works is through lack of sleep. So the question is, what's dominating your thoughts as you lay down at night? What is dominating your thoughts? Is it the Lord and His word? Is that what's dominating your thoughts? Or is it the worries of this life, the cares of this life, the changes that take place in this life? Which one's dominating your thoughts? And if you're letting anxiety and worry and fear dominate your thoughts as you lay down at night, then it's going to take years off your life. Remember the word of the Lord. Jesus said this. He said, the enemy came to steal, say it with me, kill and destroy, but I came to give you life and life abundantly. It's the words of Jesus. So the enemy is in all that stress and worry and fear. That's not the Lord. And so all of that stress and worry and fear is coming to kill, steal, and destroy your life, my life. But Jesus said, I came to give you life and life abundantly. So when you lay down at night, are you putting it in the Lord's hands? I've talked with a lot of people, Kim has talked with a lot of people over the years, and we've said, are you giving God the night? Are you giving Him the night? Proverbs chapter 3 is a great scripture, a great chapter about giving God the night. And that chapter tells us this. It says, if we remember the things of God and His commands and His promises, His goodness and His faithfulness, and then you can see in verse 2, it says, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. And verse 24 says, you can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. So if we trust the Lord, if we put our lives in His hands, if we're having full confidence in Him, then we can go to bed at night and we can sleep soundly. We can lie down with no anxiety, no fear, no worries, nothing, and just give the Lord the night and say, Lord, speak to me tonight. And we'll sleep soundly and He will speak to us. And it's true. People with thankful hearts sleep better. They do. Studies have shown this. Studies have shown that writing a gratitude journal improves your sleep. This is a 2011 study in applied psychology, health and well-being, and it said spending just 15 minutes jotting down a few grateful sentiments before bed, you may sleep better and longer. Okay? Now, you can do that if you want to. That'd be great if you need to jot some things down if you're that type of person. But I would just say to you, if you can just spend a few minutes before you go to sleep at night, and one, just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for the day. Thank Him for what He's done in your life. Thank Him for just, you know, being with you and taking care of you. And thank Him. It may have been a hard day, but thank Him. It may have been difficult. It may not have all gone the way you thought it would go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You get some nights you lay down and you're like, how did I even make it through this day? You know how? The Lord. Thank Him. Thank you, Lord. You can even say this, thank you, Lord. It's been a hard day. It's been difficult. I've struggled. I haven't done it perfectly. I messed up today. Forgive me for the sin that I committed in the midst of all of that, Father, and cleanse my heart and wash me clean. Now, Lord, I just thank you for what you've done in my life. I thank you that you got me through it, and I'm sitting here, and I know tomorrow you're going to fulfill your promises in my life, and so I just give you this night. But if you go home after a hard day, and you grumble and complain, and you're bitter, and you don't pick up the word of God, and you just lay down in the bed and go, man, that was a horrible day. That was rotten, and those people are terrible, and this and that, and blah, 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 blah. And then you just lay down and go to sleep. Who did you just give the night to? The enemy. You just gave him that night. And so who do you think is going to come in and speak to you in the night? We all know it. We've done it. You wake up and you're like, wow, man, I had a horrible dream. Right? Can I just tell you this? If God wants to speak to you so much, He so wants to talk to us in the night. There's so many scriptures in the Word of God that will show it to you. If He wants to speak to us so dearly in the night, don't you know the enemy wants to steal that? Yeah. He wants to steal that. That's God's time with His children. How many times has the Lord spoken to us in our sleep? Throughout the generations, we see it in the Word of God. How many times did the Lord give someone in this Word that we read about a dream that was so powerful, so promising, so futuristic? telling them, this is what's going to happen. This is what's to come. I don't know about you, but I need to hear the Lord tell me it's all going to be all right and it's going to work out and I got a promise and here it is. Anybody else? I need to hear that. And guess what? Guess what God will do? He'll not only give you that dream and that promise about what's to come in the future, but then he'll visit you night after night and he'll double down on that. He'll reassure you. He'll say, do you remember that promise I told you about? It's about to happen. It's about to happen. I'm about to do it. Are you ready for it? It's about to unfold before your eyes. He will do that. How do I know this? Because I've heard him do it. He's given it to me. I've had dreams, and the Lord has come back in the years to come after that dream, that promise, and said, this is about to happen. I'm about to do it. And he did it in ways that I knew it had to be him. And I got up in the morning, and I opened up my dream journal, and I wrote it down. I've done this before. Kim's done it. She started journaling her dreams years ago. And I was like, I'll remember it. No. Like, write it down. If it's from the Lord, you need to write it down. Amen? And so I started writing down dreams. And I remember God gave me a dream. I've read some of them to you. God gave me some dreams that were so powerful, and I saw it unfold before my very eyes. I wrote every word down, and then in the years to come, I saw everything happen just as the Lord said it would. Isn't that powerful? Because he's speaking to us. He's speaking to us. Psalm chapter 4, I'm going to read it real quickly. It's from the Good News Translation is where I'm reading it. But it's just, I think it's just like 8 verses. He says, answer me when I pray, O God, my defender. When I was in trouble, you helped me. Be kind to me now and hear my prayer. How long will you people insult me? How long will you love what is worthless and go after what is false? Remember that the Lord has chosen the righteous for his own, and he hears me when I call to him. Tremble with fear and stop sinning. Think deeply about this when you lie in silence on your beds. Offer the right sacrifices to the Lord and put your trust in him. There are many who pray, give us more blessings, O Lord. Look on us with kindness. Watch this, verse 7. But the joy that you have given me is more than they will ever have in all their grain and wine. What is that? Thankfulness. But the joy that you have given me is more than they will ever have in all their grain and wine. Oh, this is so powerful if you just listen for a second. And then I'll go on to verse 8, which is really sums it up. But here's what this passage is saying. That thankfulness is saying, but the joy you've given me, Lord, what you've done in my heart, in my spirit, is more than any money could ever satisfy or buy. It's more than anything in this, any material possessions could ever give us. Far more. Okay? Verse 8 says, when I lie down, I go to sleep in peace. You alone, O Lord, keep me perfectly safe. So this scripture is telling us, listen, if we'll just be thankful to the Lord before we go to sleep at night, just thank him for everything that he's done, thank him for blessing us. You may have a lot of things going on in your life. You're like, I don't understand this. Why is my car broke down? And why is this happening with my, why did I just get laid off? Or why is this taking place? Or why is that taking place? But you can go to bed at night and thank the Lord for what he has done in your life and lay down and sleep in peace. Why? Because you know when you wake up tomorrow morning, he's going to take care of you. He's going to set your feet on the right path. He's going to direct your steps and order them. Psalm 74:16 says, both day and night belong to you, and you made the starlight and the sun. The night belongs to who? The Lord. The night belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to the enemy. You don't have to have those nightmares. You don't have to go through that. I've known people that have so lived this in their lives that when they went to sleep at night, they laid down in peace, and the enemy tried to disrupt them in the middle of the night, and they woke up. I've known people that have woken up and saw the enemy in their room, manifested in their room, and took authority over the enemy, kicked them out, went back to sleep, and slept peacefully. How can they do something like that? Because they know who the night belongs to. Amen? Belongs to the Lord. Enemy can't have it. You're a child of God. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God, and the enemy cannot have your night. So understand that. Give it to the Lord. Psalm 127:2 says, it is useless to work so hard for a living and get up early and go to bed late, for the Lord provides for those he loves while they are asleep. You see that? Now, that doesn't mean, because some of you are reading this going, good, I wanted to quit my job anyway. I just want to quit. I'll just stay at home because the Lord will take care of me. That doesn't mean that. That doesn't mean you can just quit working and not do anything. But what this does mean is this. Quit striving so hard all day long to bring peace into your life. You think that by you working so hard and having more money, it's going to somehow bring peace to your life. No amount of money will ever bring peace to your life. Ever. You may think it's peace, but it's a false sense of peace. We all know this. I'm sticking longer on this than I intended to, but I feel like Holy Spirit in this right now. We all know this. There's not a person in this place that probably hadn't driven down the road and saw those big lit up billboards that say Powerball and Mega Millions and saw that and thought and then spent the next 30 minutes, didn't even know how you got from here to there, just daydreaming about how you'd spend that money. You're like, I have no idea how I got from Port Huron to Marysville. But you thought a lot about, man, what could I do with $900 million? Yeah. Thank you for proving my point. You even know to the penny what it is right now, and 32 cents. Look, so you know what I mean? It's like, we just obsess over that, over how money is going to bring peace to our lives. But it won't. All your bills may be paid, and you may not have a worry or care about finances, but I guarantee you the enemy will find other ways to bring frustration and worry and anxiety and fear and doubt and all those other things into your life. In fact, many people say it's worse afterwards. I don't know if you've all ever seen the documentaries about the lottery ruined my life. They actually have documentaries out there about it because it's true. Because people think, oh man, I'm going to get all this money and it's going to make my life better. Listen, if your life was horrible before the lottery, it will just be horrible plus a lot of money after the lottery. You know? Okay, number six, thankfulness improves self-esteem. 2014 study in the Journal of Applied Sports Psychology found that gratitude increased athletes' self-esteem, which we know is essential, and it's an essential component for performance and competing and stuff like that. You got to have, you know, high self-esteem to be an accomplished athlete. You just do, okay? And I don't care what sport it's in, you really do. I mean, let's just talk about golf for a second. Golf is, you know, anybody play golf in the room? Anybody like to play golf? Okay, quite a few. So golf is they call it a mind sport, right? Because you're by yourself. Like, it's an individual sport. You're by yourself, and they call it a mind sport because it's really a head game. Anybody that plays golf knows what I'm talking about. You know, you can get out there and have the yips. I knew a guy one time that was a really good golfer, and I played golf with him, and he started getting the yips on the putting green. You know what I mean? Whenever he went to putt, he got the yips, which means he just, whatever reason, he couldn't putt anymore. Like, the ball would just go, you know, and he'd be shaky and all this kind of stuff. It was the craziest thing, but it was all a mind thing. Come to find out, this guy was going through a lot of stress and anxiety at work. That type of thing was having an effect on the rest of his life. In fact, he wasn't even sleeping well because of it, as we know can be true. So this will have an impact on our self-esteem. This thankfulness improves our self-esteem. It actually makes us feel better about ourselves and think better about ourselves. Other studies have shown that gratitude reduces social comparisons. Rather than becoming resentful toward people who have more money or better jobs, which is a major impact on reduced self-esteem, grateful people are able to appreciate other people's accomplishments. When you see someone who is resentful of another person's accomplishments, it's probably because they have low self-esteem. Okay? If they have low self-esteem, then they see somebody else succeeding and it irritates them. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. It just means that inside they've got some brokenness and some wounds and some hurt, and that just comes out in these symptoms of resentment of those people. So I recently read a story about two Christian ladies who have been friends for quite some time, and they were driving down the road together, riding in a car together, and the one lady said, I turned to my friend and asked her, you know, what did she like the most about herself? Or what did she like about herself? And she said that they rode for several minutes in silence. So they just went along and nothing. This lady didn't say a word. And she finally turned to her and said, apologetically said, I cannot think of anything. And she said that she was stunned. She said her friend is intelligent, she's charming, she's compassionate. All of these things, she said, I couldn't see any, and she said her friend couldn't see any of that. Just a simple question, what do you like about yourself? And this person said, I can't think of a thing. Yet, how many of you know someone that you can see them and you look at them and go, man, they're so gifted. Man, this person has all this stuff, but yet inside they have this low self-esteem and they don't think the same thing about themselves as you do. Anybody ever known somebody like that? Mm-hmm. And it's because we can have this lack of self-esteem when we have a lack of gratitude in our hearts. And think about it, if you're thankful and you have a thankful heart and you're thanking the Lord for all the things he's done, all of a sudden you start to see things. Like, for instance, are you thankful that the Lord did save you? Yes. Are you thankful? Are you really thankful? Because if you're thankful that he saved you, think about this. If you would have been the only person on this planet, he still would have sent Jesus to die for you. Would that change the way you look